Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right, what a night. I am so excited tonight's guest, but...
Tonight is going to be amazing.
Yes.
We got that. This is Brandon Johnson.
Ron Powers.
And Chris Hurst.
You are on Wake the Bear Radio and KSCO, KSCO 1080. We're excited. We have a special guest tonight that's going to be calling in is Lauren Hart. I can't wait to introduce her to you. And yeah, she's got some powerful things to share about how God changed her life.
Oh, that's going to be great. But before we get into that, let's just kind of do a recap of maybe what's happened this last week.
Yeah, there's lots busy week, lots going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know that Steve Bannon, he turned himself in. He was indicted for contempt of Congress. It was all about the January 6th. They wanted a deposition from him, so they subpoenaed him. And he's like, no, I'm not going in. And so Congress came down. And I think that's going to bite them in the rear later.
Yeah, well, what happens is it goes to court, right? And then it goes to discovery. And then whatever testimony is put into the public arena, into the discovery phase, and therefore he's a smart man.
Yeah, I think he's got a plan there. And so another one is jury selection for Glacine Maxwell that started yesterday. Mm-hmm. They got about 6,000 applicants, qualified applicants, and they're going to whittle that down to 12 plus a backup of 6, about 18. Oh. So that starts. So that's a loaded. I mean, that's a completely loaded case. You know what that implicates, right? I mean,
She's going to be singing like a bird.
That's what they say. And she's got a lot to work with. So we'll see what happens.
Pray they keep her alive.
Yes, I know. Yep. Keep her in your prayers for that.
Yeah.
What else? Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yep.
What was it? Today they started the deliberation. So they already have a jury, and they already went through the process, the defendant and the prosecutor.
The case, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it. I spent a couple hours just kind of having that play in the background. I was not impressed with the prosecutor at all. I mean, it was just like, what?
That's people not.
Yeah, and then if you see the feed, you know, people are saying the same thing. Yeah. And I think the last thing, I think we'll just go with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing about the Kyle Rittenhouse is, unfortunately, with Wake the Bear Radio, we're waking California up. We're waking up the bear, and we're helping people to question the narrative. And what we're seeing a lot of on the mainstream media is a smearing of Kyle Rittenhouse rather than actually presenting what's actually going on in the courthouse.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
don't always believe what you think. Like, look at the evidence before you make a decision and question the mainstream narrative, because if you don't question it, you're going to miss it.
Yes. So. Go on.
I think one of the things that we're reminded of as we watch his trial is that we've forgotten that people are actually supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
And the narrative has been so weaponized against him. And it's just been vitriol. It's been very harsh in the media. So I'm glad to see that he's getting, he's got a wise judge. He needed a wise judge. He's got a brave judge.
Well, and what's at stake is if the police fail to do their job, there's no one left but us, right?
Yeah.
And basically the ability to protect your property and to protect, I mean, obviously it was his friend's business that he was protecting, and being able to be out there and guard and protect yourself, the Second Amendment. If this goes the other way, the way we don't want it to go, it sends a powerful message that you don't have a right to protect yourself or nor defend your property with a firearm. And that's what goes against the entire Constitution, definitely the Second Amendment. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him cleared. And, you know, I saw a meme today that was just classic. What was the Covington kid's name that won that $270 million lawsuit or whatever it was?
That Linwood.
Linwood did?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
$230 million court case against CNN.
So he says, I got that $230 million from CNN or something. And then it shows Kyle underneath, says, hold my beer. So anyway, let's get on to tonight's
subject. Let's welcome our guest speaker. Hey, Lauren, are you there?
She should be.
Hey, Lauren, can you hear us? We're having tech difficulties for just a brief moment.
Can you hear us, Lauren?
You know, while we're getting Lauren on.
There we go.
Oh, you've got
Lauren,
her.
You are on now. That was my fault there. Okay.
Welcome. Hello. Welcome, Lauren Hart. How are you?
Good. How y'all doing?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. We are really excited to hear your story tonight.
Yeah. So, Lauren, I actually met Lauren a couple, 2 months ago, Lauren, we met?
Yeah, I just bought that.
Mm-hmm. We were both going to an art training day down at an art gallery, Simon Bowles Gallery down in Monterey, and Lauren came with a bunch of students and a bunch of people that were going to be taking this class, and she stayed at my house, and her and a friend, and we were just talking. I was just sharing with her about Wake the Bear Radio, and Lauren says to me, oh, wow, so you're talking about, like, waking people up to the truth. And I'm like, yeah, we're trying to, like, question the mainstream media's narrative, and we're really trying to, like, get people to, you know, to question the narrative, to really not just believe what they're being fed. And she's all, would you ever talk about sexuality on your show? And I'm like, heck yeah, of course we would. So she just kind of started to share some of her story and just the radical things that God had done in her life and being changed. And so I said, yeah, why don't you come on our show? And she said she'd be honored. So, yeah, we're glad you're here, Lauren.
Yeah, I remember being like, kind of shocked when you said yes to talking about sexuality. I'm like, oh, he's a brave one. So I'm excited to be here and kind of share a little bit.
Well, I think it's a universal subject too, Lauren, in that we're all sexual beings. We've all struggled relationally. We've all struggled with value, and we've all struggled where sin has gotten in and a wound has taken hold and we've believed wrong things about the character of God. And I think you have a message that is an overcoming message. So I'm very excited to hear what your message is tonight.
Yeah, that's one of the things we really value here, Lauren, and those listening, obviously, is that we want to talk about what's really going on in the world, but we come from it from a place of hope because we serve a God of hope. And your story really is a story of hope. It's a story of victory. And I think you have you're basically a hopeful message to people out there tonight that I'm hoping that people are listening and they're going to get a chance to hear your story and just really grow in some way. So, well, let's get into it. Lauren, where did you get the grace to start being a part of this changed movement? What happened in your life? Just give us your story a bit here.
Sure. Yeah. So, let me see here. So I grew up in a very small town. I'm from Michigan originally, and so that's where I'm at right now. Decided to travel back for the holidays.
Yeah.
And so I used to be gay, and now I'm not. And I like to use my story for those who want change and for those who are looking for something different, because I speak up and I share my story because I was looking for somebody like me now who was willing to talk about it and had walked through the hard stuff.
Mm. Wow.
And so that's why I like to do what I do now. And I like to share and talk about it. So I was attracted to women since I was a teenager. I just naturally felt like more safe around women than I did with men. And there was just a lot that had happened to me as a kid. I was bullied pretty severely by a group of boys, both physically and verbally, and then sexually assaulted multiple times during my teen years. And so, but if you had asked me when I was with my girlfriend, if I was picking that out of pain or fear, I would have told you absolutely not. Mm. I think until I'd met my girlfriend, I hadn't felt as loved until I met her. And so, if anybody had said, oh, this is something, you know, that you're picking because you're not doing well, I would have said, no, I'm actually picking this because I like it. And so, I just went on a journey with the Lord, with Jesus. I knew about the Bible, and I had, I was 18 or 19, probably 19. And I could hear the voice of God super, super clear.
Wow.
Probably more clear than most people I knew. And so it was just kind of like, okay, well, what do I do with my faith? Like I knew what some of the people around me were saying, but I was like, well, what do you say, God? You know, cause a lot of people it's tough to be this honest, and I didn't want to give up the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was afraid he would say. So most of the time God wouldn't talk to me about my life unless I, wasn't talking about it. So he'd bring it up when he wanted to. And one of the things that he showed me, it was through visions. And so vision is like in your imagination. when you can see something, and I could see certain things in my imagination, and I knew it wasn't me. And so one of the things I felt God show me was a bar graph. And he showed me a bar graph, and he said, if you could remove her, I could love you as much as I want to. And I remember saying, I said, God, I don't know how you could love me more than she could, because I haven't felt this love before. And he said, watch me. And so it was just many encounters that he gave me where he was inching my heart towards something different. And do you guys remember there was a meme? It still kind of floats around, but it's of Jesus holding a big bear behind his back and then a little girl holding a little bear.
I think I remember that one. Yes.
Have you guys seen it? Okay.
Yes.
We'll have to find it. It has bears in it, so we got to find it for sure.
Yes.
There you go. But he, like, this meme popped up, and God spoke to me, and I was crying. And he was like, hey, if you give me this lifestyle, he said, I will do something with your life. Mm-hmm. And he said that I heard the Lord say so clear, I've asked so many people to leave this life, and they won't. Mm-hmm. But if you do, I'll do something with it.
Wow. What a promise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And so that was way back when. And then I decided to break up with her after many encounters from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And after that, I went and received prayer. And I really got a lot of freedom through prayer. And then I ended up coming out to California and began kind of a different life of learning what it was actually to be a disciple of Jesus. And so now I feel like I get to receive a lot more love, but this kind of love, it doesn't take, it only gives.
Wow.
And I didn't realize when I was in it that my ability to receive love was super low. And so I just went on a massive heart journey, and I'm still on a massive heart journey, to receive more of God's love and of the people around me. In a healthy way.
You know, that's interesting, you know, because when I talk to people about this topic, you know, there's a lot of people that are really confused about this topic, and they're struggling with their own sexuality. And what I try to tell them is, listen, Christians aren't against gay people. We don't hate gay people. We love all people, because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. But we want God's, there's a difference between, like, we want God's best. When someone is like into that lifestyle, I always tell them, listen, but that's not God's design, and it's not his best. And I want God's best for you. And it sounds similar to what you're saying about, I wanted his love. I wanted to experience more, a greater reality of his love, more. Like, give me more, Lord, of you, because you're so good. And it seems like that's what happened with you, is you were wooed by the greater wooer, the lover of your soul.
Absolutely. You know, I have a question I've been dying to ask, is what was your experience before you did the change back? What was your experience with the church? I mean, how did they treat you? Because I've never really seen it, you know, like the Hillsboro Baptists or something. I haven't experienced that. All the circles I always hung with, people were pretty okay. I mean, they weren't okay with the lifestyle, but they were okay with the people. And that was my personal one. I just want to know what you experienced.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I wasn't super part of a church, and the churches that I was a part of, they didn't really know. But what I would say is my friends who were Christian, I'll tell this story. So a friend of mine, she said, hey, do you want to come over and spend the night? And I said, oh, you know who I am. I'm like, why are you asking me to spend the night? And I remember feeling really dirty. And she was like, no, like, come over, come hang out, and we'll just watch a movie and we'll go to bed. No big deal. And I mean, I had girlfriends that I would hang out with, you know, that were just friends, but it just, something felt different about it. And so I went over to her house, and I mean, this is kind of a really vulnerable story to share, but she's holding me where I'm in her bed, and she's holding me. And I just started crying, because, like, she didn't want anything from me.
Mm. Wow.
And she wasn't afraid.
Wow.
And it rocked me, the fact that she was so fearless and just, she was so wanting to just literally track me down with tangible physical love. And she wasn't afraid.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've noticed from some of the people that I've counseled or loved on, you know, men, you know, is they just, a lot of people just need like healthy, real, you know, relationship that does, you don't want anything from someone. You like just touch. Like, I mean, young people that I just put an arm around and say, I love you, I'm for you, but like appropriate same sex affection, you know, that's like, that's healthy. And so that, yeah, that's something I learned.
Absolutely.
Well,
that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Coming out of the gay lifestyle, you went down to California. You became were you invited into the group of the Change Movement? Tell us a little bit about the Change Movement and the leaders, and what's their mission, and how did you get involved in that?
Yeah. So I'm actually one of their more original members of the Change Movement.
Wow.
And so So it was created. The leaders are Elizabeth Wanning and Ken Williams. And so they're up in Redding, California.
Yeah, I love those guys. And I've seen them speak multiple times. They're amazing.
yeah, they're legit. And Elizabeth is super into the political sphere, and so she's kind of like this, like a watchman of sorts. Like, she'll just call out what's happening, and then people just kind of start to rally.
She's like a Jedi.
The Change Movement was created. There you go. So the Change Movement was created kind of under Elizabeth's main ministry, which is called Equip to Love. Mm. And so the Change Movement is, I quoted it out. So it's a bunch of people who all left the LGBTQ because we all wanted to. And so we're a bunch of basically just a group of friends who once identified as LGBTQ+, and now we don't.
Wow. Mm. And Elizabeth and the leaders were facing some, I think what you would call some heavy persecution for their story, right? There was a couple of years back even where there was a bill that was going to be written, that was written already, and it was going to go before, it was a California state bill to basically make it illegal to help people come out of that lifestyle. Is that right, Chris? I think you know.
Right,
that.
Yeah. And yeah, this is Bill AB 2943.
AB 2943, yeah.
And tell us a little bit more about that bill if you know it offhand still.
Yeah, it's a bill. I was just reading up on it because I wanted to be able to share a little bit. So it was about a bill about business. And so let me see here. I have it pulled up. Yeah, so it's about unlawful business practices to change sexual orientation. Mm. And so what it would do was it would not allow, it basically would make, if I ever wrote a book or any of Elizabeth's books or Ken's books, it would make those books illegal. Wow. In California, because it would be considered a negative point of change. And so conversion therapy itself was definitely a huge point of topic. And so that's why we went down to Sacramento to speak, and there were film crews and things, and there were just tons of people that showed up because, and interestingly enough, quite a few people, Christians, thought that it also meant that the Bible would become illegal. It's not true. That's not in the wording of the bill. However, many people had thought that. And so because people thought that the Bible was going to get canceled in California, I mean, hundreds of people called in.
Wow.
And they called in against these bills. And so if you didn't know that, you can do that in California. If you don't like a bill, you can call in the day of it being spoken about, yeah, and you can give your say, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's one of the things here on Wake the Bear Radio that we want to do is we're trying to wake people up to what's going on, to have them question the mainstream narrative. You know, we're all about freedom here. And we want people to activate people to make decisions and make changes. And that's what you guys did. I mean, I saw pictures of you guys all down there on the steps with your black shirts on, with the white letters Changed. And you were like basically saying, if you guys pass this bill, you're saying we don't exist. Like, we have no value because
or that we're illegal.
Or we're illegal.
My story is illegal to you.
Mm. Yeah, it's just another form of cancel culture, isn't it?
Yes.
When we can't speak what is true, or we can't choose to walk away from whatever the sexualized political story is. There's a reason that there's identity politics going on, and that the left is using it actually to be weaponized against the church, against the more conservative stream. So it sounds like there is extreme, anything that doesn't agree is dissonance, and it's bigotry. It's there's no room for the other voice. So it's beautiful how you were fighting for moving towards a conservative lifestyle from a openly gay lifestyle.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, like, What the number one thing we think about here in Wake the Bear is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Gospel means good news, and it means that there's power to change. You, by the power of God, any of us can change who we were, how we acted in the past. And, you know, I mean, you know, those that have struggled with, you know, lust or greed, or, you know, if have made poor decisions and anger, all of those things are called, we call that change repentance. Like, you can actually change your mind about God, that he's actually much better than you thought he was, and that God's way is better than my own way. And that's repentance. And so, in a sense, what they were trying to do is make repentance illegal, make it so you are not, you can't change from another life, that lifestyle, and become, you know, changed. And so, like you're saying, is that they were saying that basically my story is illegal, and that's powerful.
And, you know, God is not really surprised at people's sin. I mean, even the sin of homosexuality in the scriptures, it's always accompanied with a whole list of other ones that, quote, straight people would do, you know. And so it's not ever picked out as one particular thing, you know. And, I mean, even the letters Paul is writing to the church, he's like, hey, you guys got to stop sleeping with your mothers. Did you know that's wrong? You know, things like that. I mean, some of these people had no clue on some of the things that we think today, like, oh, we'd never do that, you know. But that's that they had heart after God. They were in a church and they were learning, and God, and it's a journey. It's not something that you have to be clean before you come into the church. You know, God will use people, and it's a journey. And so I'm hoping that the message that the church is doing, and I think they're doing a good job, although the media may portray it differently, is that there is an open door, and that there, it's not full of hate and judgment. You know, that I keep on bringing Hillsborough up, you know, Baptist. Mm-hmm. It's like one church out of thousands of churches.
It's all the press.
And they're pretty hardcore. That's their main thing. They've been doing it for years, but they get all the press. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but that's not really representative of the
Jesus.
Majority in any way.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah.
It's just not very representative at all, you know, and kind of going back to what we were saying, I think, you know, I don't usually like to use the word sin, but sure. I think every person is trying to figure out how to get their needs met.
Right.
And I think that it comes down to needs and getting needs met. And there are just healthier ways to get needs met that are outside of the gay life. Yeah, I want that to be a huge notice on my story that, you know, I could totally do something similar that's unhealthy for me in a straight relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, what's about, you know, getting your needs met in healthy ways?
Yeah, that's a really good way of saying it. I mean, you know, God's design, his beautiful design, men and women together, submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ is one of the terms that you like, how can we outdo love? You know, how can a man and woman outdo love for each other? And, you know, it's, you know, I think of like, it's this like nature's God, you know, we should never make illegal that which God has designed, you know? And yeah, anyways.
Well, we want to take some callers tonight. It's almost 8:30. And mm-hmm. So if you want to call in, if you have any comments, if you have a question for Lauren or any of us, you want to call in at 831-479-1080. That's 479-1080.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be taking callers in just a few minutes. So just call in now so we can take those calls. Anything you... You have something else?
I had a question, Lauren, about, you know, one of the narratives out there that's going, that's pretty strong, that's being taught as part of the CRT curriculum in the schools, is that people are, they're born gay and that there's actually a gay gene. How would you address that in your position of coming out of a gay lifestyle?
I believe that study was debunked pretty fast after it happened.
Yep.
So that's the most of what I know on that one. I do believe even psychology has shown us, and it's been proven, that your sexuality doesn't form until a certain time in your life. Mm-hmm. However, most battles are won or lost in the mind. And I think affirming in our kids who they are and calling out the good that they are can really combat, I think, a lot of this lifestyle.
Wow. Well, so why are we actually talking about sexuality on Wake the Bear? And mm-hmm. and the reason is because we're a station that wants to broadcast freedom.
Yeah.
And you spoke about freedom through prayer. And we also give a message of hope, that there is hope, that wherever we are, we can stop and turn and get on the right path. And that wherever our situation is in our government, wherever our society is, wherever our culture is, there is great hope, and that they are made of individuals like Lauren, and that it's one good decision for God at a time. And that I love how you say that the Lord came and he visited you.
Wow.
And he didn't come with a message of condemnation. He didn't come with a message of judgment. He came with a message of identity, of love, of hope.
Yeah.
And it was very personal. You heard his voice. I think that's a beautiful part of your story. Can you talk a little bit about what was it like to get freedom through prayer?
Sure. So I walked into my the office that I was going to get prayed for in, and the man asked me, "Hey, are you sure you want to leave the life?" He says, "I'm not going to pray unless you're ready." And I said, "Yeah, I'm ready." Like, my heart felt very ready to let go, even though I still had a lot of feelings, of course. But I was ready to let go. And he just said, "In the name of Jesus." And the minute he said that, my body started to contort and I started to cackle and I fell to the ground.
Wow.
And I went into a vision. And in this vision, I saw three demons and I saw Jesus.
Wow.
And I had never known a powerful Jesus a day in my life. I knew the name Jesus. I grew up at the tip of the Bible Belt, but I didn't know of the Jesus that I saw. But I knew what the demons could do. I knew what they represented in my life. And I looked over at Jesus. He said, "Do you want me or do you want them?" Mm. And he was just going to let me pick. He was not being manipulative. I could feel it. He was being very sincere. Like, pick what you want. And I looked at him and I said, "You know what, Jesus, I pick you." And he said, "Okay." And he stepped between me and the demons, and I came out as vision. I physically felt something come out of my side, out of my back, and something came off my chest, and I could breathe. I wasn't cackling anymore. I got up off the ground, and that was really, I think, the start of me walking forward.
Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful story of deliverance of in the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. And I think it's a great challenge to us today, that where we make Jesus into this powerless God. And I love that he came as a friend, as a king, and he gave you the free choice. And I love that when you said yes, the name of Jesus sent out three demons. That is a beautiful testimony.
Yeah, what a privilege to have God work on your behalf like that. I mean, I long for experiences like that. You're very fortunate. Hey, we've got a caller. I'd like to take the caller right now.
Yeah.
It is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Aaron, you are on the air. Hopefully I did this right. Can you hear us, Aaron? Okay. I've got to figure this out. So when we have a full-time guest, the board changes totally. And I may need help here. Keep sharing, Aaron, Lauren.
Well, I wanted to point out, like, I had an experience when I was younger. I was molested twice by an older boy, and I'm just obviously going to be real. And my parents kind of came to me and said, hey, we heard this happen. It was a friend of a family's son. Hey, we heard this happen, and we just want to let you know that we're not upset, but this isn't okay, and we don't want you to do it anymore. And I was like, oh, thank you so much, because it didn't feel right to me either. And I got radically delivered just by some really careful direction of my parents to not give it any power, but also to say this isn't the right path. And it literally transformed me, because it was handled right. And I think if you don't have really super loving, careful parents, aren't wise and know how to do this, they could do it really wrong and fill you up with shame and guilt and all that kind of stuff that could really make it worse. So,
yeah, which is often done out of fear by the parents. And so there's this condemnation put on a child that is actually he's been perpetrated against, or she. And thank you very much for being vulnerable, Brandon. That there's freedom in bringing things into the light.
Yeah,
and I think that
is a story of victory,
a great example for all of us. It's why Jesus says, confess your sins to one another. Mm. And it's also the sins done against you, so that you can be set free and people understand that you don't have to live in shame, because it's the enemy's number one. One of his greatest weapons against us is to hide.
Hey, Aaron, if you're out there, can you call back? I'm sorry. I just want to get that out there.
Okay.
And going back, Brandon, I love that you share, because I just had somebody ask me, they're like, well, you have to get a massive deliverance in order to know that you're free from this kind of a lifestyle. And I'm going to say no. Like, mine's a bit dramatic. But it can be far more calm and beautiful, like your parents really choosing to be parents and be the leaders of your life. And I mean, just even on the Change Movement website, there are tons of stories, and, you know, anybody who's anybody can get on and read them. But it's just all these different ways that the Lord worked through their life, changed them, loved them. And they are where they are now.
Wow.
All right.
So we have a caller?
Yeah, we got the switchboard program.
Okay.
Here, so now we will. So it is Aaron. Aaron, you are on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, welcome, Aaron. Do you have a comment or a question for Lauren?
I do, yeah. First, Lauren, thank you so much for your just bravery and coming on to the air and sharing your story. And my question is, I actually was, I was just having a conversation with someone I know, and she's actually not a follower of Christ. And her and another woman had an experience where they went to a church, and they had heard the pastor making comments about, homosexuality, and that it is a sin. And I think it was said in, not a terrible way, but they I think were turned off in that they were coming from seeing that homosexuality is not necessarily a choice, but something that you're born with. And so I'm wondering what you would say to maybe someone who's not yet convinced of Jesus or Christianity, who maybe would walk into a church to check him out, but then maybe hear something about that. What would your response be to that person?
Great question.
Well, that's a great question. And I think that that's kind of why I just share my story and I let the chips fall where they go, because It does come down to the fact that it is sin. And until they're willing to kind of see that, I think the Lord is going to work on their hearts to show them that they're loved. So it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. Mm. And it sounds like that was probably the first time they had ever heard that kind of truth before. And it sounds like they're going to go on a process, you know, and it takes a lot of humility. I had to surrender a lot to get to where I am now. Is that helpful?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I love the fact that you said, I shared my story and that had power to do it. Like, I mean, that's our testimony is actually one of the most powerful things we have to share with people.
Amen. Amen. Aaron, anything else?
Yeah, I think I would just say then, so would you say that, that homosexuality is a choice and not necessarily something that you're born with?
I would say that,
oh, can you hear me?
Yep,
go for it.
Okay, yeah, so I think the way that when I was in it, I would have said I was picking it out of total freedom and total love. But it wasn't until I chose to surrender and actually really examine that I found that why I was picking it, and I was picking it out of brokenness. Mm-hmm. But if you'd asked me, like I said, when I was in it, so I could, I didn't ever reach that point personally where I said I was born this way, but I could totally see how that's possible because the feelings are so strong. I had stronger feelings for my girlfriend than I had had for pretty much anybody before her. And so I could see how, yeah, I could have felt like I was born that way, but I didn't ever come to that point. And so I think that's just a different journey that somebody else is going to have to walk through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good question, Aaron.
Definitely. Thank you,
yeah,
Aaron.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a good question. You know, one of the things, you know, the whole controversy of born that way or just a choice and stuff, you know, the mind is plastic and it's programmable.
That's true.
And we have traumas that happen. We have things where we were given attention by one person, not by the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all can. You think about the, and I'm not equating this, but a woman in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. the guy beats her, but yet she still stays. And why? Because she's getting something, maybe right. a sort of security in some weird, twisted way.
Yeah.
You know, but that is a programming over time. And maybe that's what this is that led up to it in the childhood. You know, we were talking earlier in the week about the plastics, you know, the materials that are in our plastics, how they're knocking down. I don't know if you remember that one, but, mm-hmm. you know, knocking down some of the hormones that we have. And, mm-hmm. and it actually can alter. I mean, I'm not saying that that's solely responsible either, but are
it's a bunch of things. Yeah, it's not know? One thing. I think that's the people are trying to say, well, is it born that way or did you choose it? It's like, well, it's much more nuanced and sophisticated of a situation than just that. Yeah.
But if I
could kind of wing off of that a little bit, like, so for me, my journey took multiple years to work through my sexuality and my feelings. But I have a friend, he literally had full feelings for a woman and completely lost all feelings for men in 3 days flat.
Wow.
And so it just, it so varies for each person, like what they go through. And that's why I say, like, hit up the Change Movement website because you can get on, you can read all these stories of people who, like, I have a friend, he married his wife. And after he married his wife, he began to develop back muscles he had not had until after he met her.
Wow.
Mm.
Like, what's that about? Like, it was his masculinity got pulled up to the forefront because he met his wife.
Mm. Yeah, interesting.
Brought out the best in him.
Yeah. It brought out, yes. Yeah, it grew him and it brought out the best in him. Yeah.
In this world where humanism is really a religion, rationalism is a religion where you don't put God in the equation and you are the captain of your own fate. You get to choose your identity. And so much is done through the lenses of our trauma, of our brokenness, of things we don't understand. And it's God put in the garden two trees. He put the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man wants to eat from that tree and say, I'm going to determine what is right for me and what is wrong for me and what I want and what I need. And I will. And it doesn't lead always to a good place, because the God who created us wants us to eat from the tree of life. And he knows how we're designed. He wants us to be flourishing. He wants us to live long. That's and good. He does want us to prosper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about that is when Lauren had asked me, she said, well, would you talk about sexuality on your show? And I'm like, yeah. And I just think, you know, if you going back to the Garden of Eden, like you said, Chris, is that like this was the area that Satan attacked from the very beginning, was the identity of men and women and their relationship with one another and with God. It was like it was a full attack. And what did he attack? Sexuality. Because really what it says there in the first couple of books of Genesis is it says, and there was a war, there'll be a war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And so this, the entire story of this is this epic warfare between the offspring of the woman who would one day crush the head of the serpent. It reminds me of like a J.R. Tolkien movie, like The Return of the King, where the woman pulls her hair. I remember that one part where the girl pulls her helmet off and she kills this dragon, and it's like, you can't touch me. No man can kill me. And she's like, I'm not a man. And then she slices off the head of the dragon. It was powerful because it was actually a picture of, like, you know, Tolkien took it straight out of the Bible, of this epic warfare between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And that Satan from the very beginning has attempted to corrupt our relationships with God and with each other. And what is the most important, one of the most important things is reproduction. He wants to pervert and distort and destroy reproducing of the image of God, because we bear the image of God.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I just cry out for the children who are in school right now who are trying to be asked, do you feel like a boy or do you feel like a girl? You decide what your gender is. And I know when I was a young girl, I was very athletic. I knew I was a girl, but I loved sports. I loved to run. I loved to get dirty. I loved to climb trees. I was a tomboy. I loved to ride horses. And I liked being strong. Mm. And I was independent. And had I been a girl today, the instruction that I might have received was, well, you are having more of boy-like tendencies, so maybe you should identify as a boy.
Wow.
And it's an interesting thing when we ask our little ones who are prepubescent, who shouldn't be thinking about sex at all, what do you think you are? When we are the ones, I mean, it's the parents who champion their boyhood, their girlhood, their manhood, their womanhood.
Right.
We are the ones that help children get identity in them. And when abuse comes in, when trauma comes in, when lies come in, when distortion comes in, when over-sexualizing children, and even women and men comes in, it distorts and perverts a lot of things.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm.
You know, one of the things I've noticed is I don't think men know how to treat women anymore. I mean, you don't see it as much. There are obviously some that do, but I mean, just if women had run into people, men that honored women, like the old days, you know, opening the door and really respecting them and thinking of them. I mean, I think of my own relationship with my wife. You know, I never make a decision without counseling her, even though I know that she would submit to my ultimate decision as a tiebreaker. I always consider her first, and I'd say 99% of the times it's what she wants. Mm. And I usually say, yeah, let's do that, because I do value her, and I view her as very wise.
That's really
and
good.
So if there was that more, that godly image of how men were to treat their women, the women would want to be, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, it's the attack. The enemy attacked men and women's relationship from the very beginning. The beauty of men and women's relationship is that we're interdependent on each other. Like, I can't produce children without my wife. My wife can't produce children without me. Like, we can't, our mission in life can't be accomplished without each other. So we have to submit our mission to each other for it to accomplish it. And it's a beautiful thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's awesome. And that's, you know, even for me, that was a huge journey I had to go on, where God literally said, he's like, you don't like half of who I am, because half of who I am is male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and he's like, you got to turn that around. He's like, you can't go around not liking half of who I am.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's powerful.
I'm like, oh, shoot.
Hey, Lauren, are you tempted to write a book? I think I know you're in a book, right? Isn't your story in a book?
Yeah. I'm written out in the Change Movement book. I think I'm on page 66 in the newest copy, the newest edition. Mm-hmm. It was originally put together to combat the first bill in 2018 that I spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're definitely going to have that in the show notes. So we're going to have at wakethebearradio.com, we have show notes after every show, and we'll have the links to Change Movement and anything else that we'll talk afterwards, as far as it'll be on that page.
Now that book, Lauren, wasn't that book, I mean, that was kind of you guys were really a heartfelt activism. You were saying, listen, we believe so powerfully in this message that we can be changed, that we're willing to go to our political officials, and we're willing to write books. We're willing to make T-shirts. And I just think, you know, you guys, you were actually able, were you not, to get that bill put on the back burner or shut down. Is that right?
Yeah. It was definitely shelved after we were there, because so many people called in and spoke, and I even spoke with one of the assistants for one of the main, I forget the name, but anyways, one of the assistants there, and I shared my story with him, and his mouth dropped open, and he said, I've never heard this type of story a day in my life.
Wow.
Mm. And, like, the LGBTQ caucus is a big deal in Sacramento, and the fact that, like, someone like me really didn't get to be represented until we put this book together and we all showed up at the Capitol. It just is the fact that we exist.
Wow. We exist. We exist. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. I love that you said it. You got it shelled because you said, we will not be silent. We will not
exactly.
Shut up. We will speak. We will not comply. I think that's the key, is that if evil moves forward in a nation when good men and women do nothing.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And if you would have just said, well, yeah, I'm free, but then I'm not sharing the story of my freedom, then you don't get a chance to impart and pass on that freedom to others. And that's one of the reasons why you're on the show tonight, right? I want other people to experience the freedom that you've experienced.
Yeah, it was trying to make me look as though I'm illegal or that my story is fake, and that's not fair. I'm not trying to tell somebody who is in the LGBTQ that they can't speak. They're allowed to speak.
Right.
And absolutely. I'm allowed to speak. Like, I will not be silenced. So
yeah, and their choices, we want to honor their choice too and their journey. You know, God's he desires to get a hold of everybody, and he honors the journey that people are on. There was on your on the changemovement.com website, I noticed there was a kind of a subculture that was called X Out Loud. Are you're familiar with that, obviously, and some of the people, most of it sounds like it's mainly a European movement.
Yeah, what is that?
That people are X being the change. I was something, now I'm not, but fighting for a voice that doesn't get censored because the messaging isn't popular in mainstream media or on the far left. Are you familiar with that, Lauren?
I have not heard of that. No.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of testimonies on the changemovement.com website, and one of them is the story of that movement that's going on in Europe. Much of their legislation they are trying to do is outlaw any sort of reverse therapy from the gay lifestyle. So that has been shut down in their healthcare system. I don't know that it's been illegalized, but it is not officially, it's not considered a sound therapeutic format.
Right.
For the psychology stream.
So, you know, we only have like a couple minutes left. We don't have any other callers, right? So about 2 minutes left here. I just, you know, one of the things that, you know, we wanted to say really clearly is that we are not against gay people. We love them. And we're for people working through their struggle on their own. We're not against same-sex attracted folks. We're not condemning nor condoning. We're just saying people should have a chance to work that out with God and not be silenced because you've chosen to follow God's plan. And that, I think that's really important to say. And, you know, in the last couple moments here that we have, Lauren, is there anything you really want here those out there to hear before we're done?
I mean, change is possible. And I hear of some of the real disappointment in people's voices when they say they couldn't pray the gay away. Mm. And it breaks my heart because it's not just about fixing somebody, but it's about receiving more love. And if anything, I just hope that, I don't know, whoever's listening, if you could just know that there is hope and that, I mean, there are hundreds, I think there's hundreds and hundreds of people who are like me and have had really cool journeys. And so I just pray like crazy encounters over everyone who hears that you would just be, that you would cry out to the Lord and he has heard you and that there would just be incredible breakthrough over your life.
Yeah. We just agree with that almost right now as a prayer. We declare freedom for you, whoever's listening. Mm-hmm. We declare that there's hope and that God is powerful and he loves you. And he loves you. He's for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're getting down to the end of our hour here. Next week on Wake the Bear Radio, we are going to have a special special show dedicated to defending Main Street. What's the title there? Chris, I
think Saving Main Street.
Saving Main Street.
It's an opportunity to support local retail businesses during the holiday shopping time. We want to give a shout out to all the small retailers and ask them to be ready to call in and tell us what they have to offer for the Christmas holidays, the holiday shopping.
Yeah, Christmas is coming, and we want to empower the local business, not the big box billionaires.
That's right. They've got enough. They got more than their share.
They got like...
This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO.